Would you like to be seated? It now gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for today, who is John Nuttall. Some of you remember this time last year, John came and did the walk through the Bible. Do you want to come up, John? I'll just pray for you. Sort out you. Thank you. Is that all right, sir?
Sir? I'm impressed.
So John came and did the walk through the Bible series last year, and I don't know about you, but I had a fantastic time, and I still use some of the sites. I test them every once in a while, John.
Good.
So if you want to try them out again this morning. But let's just pray for John and the word he's going to bring to us today. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for John. Lord, we just pray that as he brings your word that you've laid upon his heart today, Lord, may we have ears to hear and eyes to see what he wants to bring to us today. Lord, may your spirit just flow freely through in this morning, in this morning service, that as we go away from here, we know that we have heard from you through the words that John brings. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Oh, good morning. It's nice to see you, and nice to be back here. Who was here for the walk through the Bible? Don't worry, I shan't be asking you to do it. You're safe. Well, fairly safe. I'm going to read because I wondered if somebody would do the reading, but I'm fine to do it. It's going to be from Judges. Let me just put this in context. Who are the Judges and what is the book of Judges about? It's going to be chapter 6 that we're looking at today, Judges 6. So Moses has brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And he's taught them the law. He's been up the mountain. He's come down the mountain. And he's brought them the law. He's also brought in the tabernacle and how to worship God. And Moses is supposed to lead them then into the promised land. But it never happens with Moses for various reasons. And then it is Joshua. When you read the book of Joshua, it says Moses died. And Joshua came to do what Moses was going to do. Joshua, who really would with Moses have led the people in 40 years earlier, it says in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy, would have led them in 40 years earlier, but the people wouldn't. Do you remember Joshua went into the land with Caleb and they spied out the land of Canaan and they said, yes, we should go into the land. They came back. But the other 10 who went with them out of the 12 tribes said, oh no, it's full of fortified cities. It's full of giants. It's full of problems and difficulties. We can't go in. So the nation wanders for 40 years. And then it's Joshua who leads the people into Canaan and into the promised land. So if you were with the walk through the Bible, you remember all the signs that go with this. Joshua, Jordan, Jericho, the falling of Jericho, which was a fortified city. God dealt with the very thing that they said was something that frightened them years earlier. So God dealt with it. But then when they've gone into the land and they've fought all these battles and they've subdued the land and the Israelites have gone in and they've taken over the land, it's divided up into areas so that Zebulun and Naphtali and Gad and Asher and Benjamin and Judah can have various parts of the land and those are delivered to them. So then what happens is they have bits of land and they find that they need someone to rule and someone to help them. With actually the enemy who has not gone. That's a very important thing. The enemy is still living there. And at the beginning of this book of Judges, we find that the enemy is still coming into where the Israelites are. And the enemy is attacking who they are. Church, take notice. The enemy does not like you. Christian, take notice. The enemy actually hates you. Do you know that? Do you know that the enemy hates you? And the enemy wants to defeat you. He wants to drag you down. He wants to bring you down. He doesn't want you to live in light and in hope. He wants to defeat you and drag you down. So he will attack. And he will find subtle ways of coming in to attack. And sometimes we don't see him. You know, if you stay focused and you go in, he'll come in from the side. And so on and so forth. So when we come to this, we find that there is a problem in Judges. There's a cycle of what happens in the nation. And I'm going to read about this and preach about it this morning. The cycle is this. The nation turns away from God. This nation who God has done amazing things with turns away from God. The nation sins. and starts to worship Baal and Asherah. You know, the sex god, Asherah, the fertility god, Asherah, not Almighty Jehovah God, who has done so much for them in bringing them out of Egypt. And so they worship other gods. The nation sins. The nation then comes under the bondage of that sin and ends up in a mess. And then the nation cries out to God. And then God sends them a judge or a savior, someone who will help them against the enemy. God brings salvation. And then at the end of that, God brings a period of peace. A period of peace in the land and for the people. And then it happens again. And in Judges, you find it keeps happening and happening and happening, that the nation sins. The nation comes under the bondage of that sin. The nation cries out to God, God, help us. God, where are you? And then God comes in his grace. Get that, folks? The nation keeps sinning. The nation keeps turning it back on God. But God does not turn his back on the nation. I've not got to my reading yet, and I've only got 20 minutes, haven't I? And I haven't started my sermon yet, which is at least an hour long. But, you know, the problem when you come to places like this is, it's not what to say, it's what not to say. Because, like, I've had 60 years of, so many years of being with the Lord and hearing from him and learning from him, and I'm still learning. I find out I know less now than I did. I find out I'm weaker than I was. Do you know what I mean? Because actually you think you're strong and sorted when you're young. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing how much I need to depend on him. And so the nation sins. We've got it again in this story. I'm glad there's light here. Because when I was down there, I started to read this and I've forgotten my glasses. So here we go. Now I can see it now. So Israel is oppressed by Midian. So chapter 6. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves dens, which were in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy their produce, the produce of the earth, as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, as well as no sheep, no ox, no donkey. They stole everything. They raped the land. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable. You couldn't count them. And they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. The nation sins. The nation comes under the bondage of that sin. The nation cries out to God. I want to say right at the start of this sermon, what it's about is this. If you are in sin and you are struggling with sin, and you are struggling, say, with an addiction or a problem, and you are struggling with sin, you're no different from everybody else. But the other thing is, there is a way out. And if you're not, and you're doing good at the moment, you're doing absolutely fine, keep watching, because the devil, the enemy, will come against you and perhaps cause you or try to make you fall. It's not the message I normally bring. I'm invited. I've just had an invite to go to Switzerland, and I'm really looking forward to go to Switzerland. There might be snow there. Tell you what, there was that much snow on my car when I set off this morning. I thought, I'll show them at Preston. I bet they haven't had any. And I got here, and it had all blown off the car. I couldn't show off with how much snow it got. I'm going there, and I'm going to speak on the Father heart of God. Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our foolish ways, he knows. In his arms, he gently bears us. Yeah? Thank you for singing that. I just saw my little grandson when you were singing that. I have to get my grandson to every sermon at the moment. Because he's 3, and he's a little fireball. He's a little bundle of passion. He's absolutely gorgeous. And you know, when he does wrong, I can't do this. Oi, you naughty, but I can't do all that. I used to do it with my kids, but not with my grandchildren. I say, come here. And I grab him and I just told him, I said, oi, don't, you know, you don't have to. And I just sense, I'm getting more, a bit more like, I think that's what God's like with me. Come here, you don't have to. You know, it's not good for you. And he's, but I want it, it's not fair. But then all of a sudden, because I feel because he's loved, because he's held, because he's gripped, because he knows, oh, I'm in a safe place. Do you know, I love that scripture. It says, the Lord brings us into a spacious place. Yeah? And I feel that's where the Lord wants us to be. But you see, the Midianites had brought them not into a spacious place. They were in a constricted place. They were in a place where they were hidden away in caves. We read of Gideon, he was hiding away in a wine press, threshing wheat. Why is he doing that? Because if he was doing it outside, the enemy would be coming and stealing all the wheat, knocking him off it and saying, give it here. A marauding, marauders coming in, taking the things that they had. I want us to look at two aspects, but the main point I want to make is, there is a way out. There is a way forward. We know who that way is. And this points to the ones that God sends as saviors, as salvation. The judges are saviors. And they are shadows of Jesus. They are a foretelling, if you like, of Jesus. A foreshadowing of Jesus coming. Let's look. The nation sins. We turn away from God. We turn our back. By the way, I've got... Do you like this? This is for the sermons. And I've just got to make sure that it doesn't go off after 2 minutes when I've been talking over here. I go back to the screen and it's nothing there. And it's a bit of a worry. You know, I've got this thing dragon on here as well, and you just go bump like this and speak into it. So if I was saying these words, they would come up on the screen. It's absolutely amazing. Do you know what Gideon is? G-I-D-D-Y space O-N-E. So I'm going to tell you about Gideon today. I thought that was rather nice. Gideon. So what are the gods of our lives? We turn to other gods. We forget what God has done. What I want to say, church, is we are in the world, but Jesus says not to be of the world. But sometimes we're in the world and we are of it because it sneaks up on us. And what are the gods that are around at the moment? Well, Asherah wasn't just around in Baal times, in the Old Testament times. Fertility and sex god is still around and very big in this country. The money of wealth and wealth god. The god of fame and celebrity. The god of food and drink. The god of self-sufficiency, self-interest. The god of our own ideas, believe what you want, of our own morals. You know, today, if you see what people would say, they would say, I can do what I want, think what I want, go where I want, be who I want. I come first. I come first. The gossip Facebook mobile phone god. You know, I've got a daughter, a foster daughter, and I watch her sometimes on Facebook and I think, don't do it. Don't do it. You're getting into an argument over two words that if you were face to face with a person, it wouldn't be an issue. But it's become a bit of a god. And what do we give honour to? What do we give worth to? Well, things that are pretty worthless. And ideas and morals and people, I don't mean the people are worthless, but the things they stand for as being pretty worthless. And the story of Gideon tells us that these things, they're just made out of wood. They're just made out of stone. They will not last. They will crumble. These are false gods and idols who offer false pleasure. And then it says, the nation sins and turns to these gods. And then it says, the nation came under bondage. Just listen to it. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts. They hid away. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites came and invaded the country. They camped on the land. You know, when we allow the enemy in, when the enemy gets a foothold, when the enemy says, I've got you here, then he seeks to dominate us, to overpower us, to intimidate us, to put us in fear, to make us hide away. He rapes and pillages the land of our lives. He steals and robs and destroys. He moves into our lives to take territory. The minute he gets a bit of territory, he's after more. He makes us then feel powerless. He makes us feel outnumbered, overwhelmed, makes us feel hopeless. We become discouraged, fearful, helpless, fretful, worried, anxious. This is all that had happened to the Israelite people in Midian, under the Midianites. We're imprisoned, locked in, caged, hopeless. Did you notice that it said God left them in the hands of the Midianites? God left them in the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. God allowed it. Do you know what the purpose of allowing that was? It was to bring them to their senses. It was to bring them to repentance. It was to make them have a change of mind. And we see that the nation does have a change of mind. It says, God, help us. Now, I hope you realize I'm talking this morning, or I sense I'm talking about this nation. And we're talking about you as a person. God, help me. The Israelites cry out to God, and it says, God hears their pleas. And tonight I'm going to talk about Gideon and how Gideon comes in terms of salvation and in terms of a savior of the people. Me, the least of the least. Me, I can't do anything. And God says, well, in my hands you can. Go in the strength that you have, you mighty man of valor. So if you want to hear more, come back tonight and we're going to look at Gideon himself. But we're not looking at that this morning. Do you remember another story? It relates to... Shut me up when I've done enough, Ian. Listen, just jump up, will you? Yeah. David, King David, should have been at war. Do you remember this story? He should have been at the war. But he didn't go to war, he was lounging about. And while he was lounging about, the enemy threw temptation at him. The devil made work for idle hands. And basically while he was lounging about, he goes on the rooftop and he sees this beautiful woman who's having a bath. She's called Bathsheba, so presumably she was, that's why she's called Bathsheba, yeah. So you remember that bit. She's having a bath and he goes, wow, I like the look of that. But you see, it could stop there, but it doesn't. He sends for her and he sleeps with her and she is with child. And then he thinks, ah, what have I done? I've been found out. So then he sends for this lady's husband who is away at the war fighting. And he says, come back. And he says, how's it going? How's everything going at the battle and everything? But he's got an ulterior motive or several. And so he says, hey, you know, don't go back to battle tonight. Go home. So Uriah the Hittite is there and he leaves the king and he actually won't go home. He said, I'm not going sleeping with my wife while all my mates are at the battle. So he won't do it. So David finds out about this. Somebody lets him know that he didn't go home. So he says, hey, come here. Stay another night with me. Let's talk. Let's make friends. Have a drink. Have plenty to drink. And then he gets him drunk and then he says, come on, go home. And this man will not. So now he's deeper in it, is David. This is King David. He's deeper in it and he thinks, oh, what shall I do now? So he gets one of his generals and he says, look, put this man, Uriah, make sure he's at the front of the battle so he'll get killed. That'll sort it. And he does get killed. So now he's got adultery on his hand. He's got lying he's got on his hand. He's got murder on his hands. This is King David, the man after God's heart. And then King David writes later on in this psalm. And this is the point. This is so important to point. It's Psalm 32. If people want to find it and just read it. How blessed is he whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Listen to this. when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And then he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. When I didn't confess my sin, I paid for it. My bones went old within me. I was drained. I was discouraged. I was down. When I confess my sin, when we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of all our sins and all our transgressions and to make us righteous. David is able to confess his sin, and then Solomon is born. God wants to bless us. Remember the prodigal son? He's in with the pigs, which is not a place you would want to be in that culture. He's in with the pigs, and it says he came to his senses and he set off for home. And the minute he set off, his father is waiting to greet him. And can I say to you folks, I don't mind if I'm preaching to one person here today who's in an addiction or a problem with sin, or doesn't even know that they're going down that road, or who the enemy's come against. I don't care if it's just one person. The Lord's given me this message. And the Lord says, come to me. Come to your senses. Listen to me. And my arms are open wide to welcome you home and to love you. And as the nation of Israel cries out, as the nation cries out to God, God sends them a savior in the form of Gideon. He sends them a judge in the form of Gideon. And like I say, we'll look at him tonight. But you know, we can't just confess our sin. It says we must repent of our sin also. We must turn away from it. Do you know one of the first things God asked Gideon to do? He said, take the Baal statue and take the Asherah pole. I'm coming to an end now. Take the Baal statue and take the Asherah pole. You'll have the Sunday school teachers going, how long has he been this morning? Take the Baal statue, knock it down. Get rid of it in your midst. Get rid of the idol. Take the Asherah pole, the sex god, S, cut that down as well. And I want you then to take it. Now listen to this, folks. I want you to take that up onto a hill. Onto a hill outside where you live. Away from your father's land. Put it on a hill. And I want you to take a bull that is your father's 7-year-old bull. And I want you to kill it. And I want you to set fire to it on the hill. And I want you to make a sacrifice on the hill that shows that sin has been dealt with in your midst. Jesus. Jesus. And it takes the sin, which is the Asherah pole, and he chops it up and he takes it up onto the hill and he sets fire to it. He does it at night because he's afraid. We'll talk about Gideon tonight being just like us. He does what's right, but it's a bit of a worry because he thinks people will want to kill him. And actually, that's exactly what they want to do when he does it. When he stands up for what God tells him to do. And he takes the Asherah pole and he takes the stuff that is the idol in his life and in the lives of the people, and he gets serious with the sin and he deals with it. If I go to James, just in closing, it says, confess your sins to one another. Have you ever done that? You don't have to answer. Put your hands up if you've ever... Oh, no, don't. The Bible urges you not to give the enemy ground, because the minute he takes ground, he's going to take more and more and more and more. But to break up the ground on which the enemy can stand. And part of doing that is to go to someone and say, will you just pray with me? Because I've messed up this week. And then you go again and you say, will you pray with me? Because I've messed up again this week. I have somebody who rings me up very regularly and says, I've messed up again. Let's pray then. Let's get rid of it. Let's take it to the cross. Let's give thanks for the blood of Jesus. And we're going to take communion afterwards. There's an opportunity for you there, folks. Just to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I offer this. But not just to leave it there, but to get serious with it. And get somebody to perhaps help you. To get serious with it. To get it dealt with in your midst. This isn't a very friendly, kind message, is it really? Coming and being nice to Fullwood. And it's not my normal message, but it's the one the Lord gave me. So the Lord bless you. And hopefully see you tonight. Bless you. Thank you.